Hey, folks. Thanks for tuning in again to the Banff Podcast. This is Mike Lafferty, and with us today, I got my regular co-host, Walt Rebilliard. How you doing, Walt?
I only vaguely resemble the person you speak of.
Walt is a replicant, folks. This could be a problem. And also, we have Mr. Cam Banks, RPG superstar. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Sorry, didn't mean to embarrass you by calling you superstar, but you're just all over everything these days. You're doing Marvel, and you're doing Firefly now.
That's right. I was announced as lead designer. I like to go by the name Kaylee, as I'll be the systems engineer. So if you can imagine me in a frilly dress, that's great. Otherwise, preserve your sanity and don't worry about it.
I got nothing to follow that up with, Cam. Thanks.
That's fine.
But did you actually get a set of overalls with the job?
I do not have those yet. It's in the mail, I'm certain.
All right, the Kickstarter's in the works. We'll get something going.
Transition away from awkward stuff. You mentioned your role has kind of changed. Like, your day job is different, and tell us what's going on with all that.
Yeah, this year what I did is I wanted to transition into doing work for Uncle Watch Productions as an independent contractor. And roughly at the same time, not long after that, I was offered a job at Atlas Games, and I'm now the brand manager in the daytime doing that.
Okay, and what's Atlas Games best known for?
They are best known right now for Gloom, which is, in fact, going to be one of the games highlighted at International Tabletop Day. If you haven't watched Will Wheaton's tabletop series on YouTube from Geek and Sundry, you should. Gloom was featured last year in the first season. Mm-hmm. And the International Tabletop Day, which I believe is March 30th, is going to be kind of a international, everyone get out games and play them, have a good time kind of event. And some specially made Gloom cards were made for tabletop and will be given out at certain game stores and retailers.
Excellent. And if you go to just tabletopday.com, you get all kinds of details. You can find it happening, you know, close to you. Mm-hmm. And you can get all hooked up with that. So
yeah, it's pretty cool. And it isn't just card games and board games. Lots of people are going to do RPGs and so on. I think Dragon Age from Green Ronin was featured as well recently.
That's a really fun game. I know a lot of people who really enjoy playing that. So excellent. So how's it working out for you time wise? I mean, because I know you got a couple kids, and mm-hmm. you're doing Margaret Weiss, and because I got to imagine your Marvel duties are no small deal, and then you're doing this thing with Atlas during the day. What kind of free time do you have?
Oh, I have like about 5 minutes. I gave up sleep. No, a lot of the heavy lifting for Marvel, for example, was done last year with producing the basic game and getting the rules to be in the shape that we wanted them to. So, and we have an incredibly talented group of freelancers and other team members who you know, can take care of a lot of the content. And so that isn't terribly difficult to keep moving along. The Firefly stuff is going to be fun because it's another really good team. A lot of people who you may be familiar with from the Marvel side of things, Dave Chalker and Phil Maynard, but the whole shebang is being run by Monica Valentinelli, who has really been around the industry for quite a while now, most famous for her work in horror-themed kinds of stuff. And she is the project manager, which is a wonderful change of pace for me because I don't have to wrangle everything. I can just concentrate on rules design, which is kind of what I wanted to do this year.
Well, that's the, you don't have to be the head bottle washer and keep everyone on schedule. You can just live in the rarefied airs of game design.
That's true, yeah. It'll be an interesting shift.
Nice. Walt, I think you had some questions about Firefly, right?
Oh, absolutely. As far as the writing goes, is any of the original core writers or Joss Whedon going to be involved in that?
You know, with things like licenses, those people who are involved on that level tend to kind of live in the realm of people who will send approvals or will be consulted by Fox. It's not really something they get directly involved with. We were in an interesting case with Leverage role-playing game because John Rogers, being such a big gamer himself, did have more interaction with us than, say, Joss is likely to. But I don't know. I think it's a huge property, and it's not something that we can sort of just keep calling up show creators and asking questions from. So it's all managed the proper way, which is through the folks at Fox.
Now, how is the how are we looking as far as like what you have planned? Is it just going to be, you know, if this is the gaming version of the Firefly universe, here you go, here's your book, and have fun with it, guys? Or is it going to be new and is the story going to be progressing at all? You know, expanding things, and showing people things they haven't seen, like maybe other territories, colonies, some of the big government side of things. What do you guys have planned?
Not a lot's been revealed right now, and I think I will be stepping outside of my bounds to sort of talk more about it. But I will say that I think it's more true to the TV series and trying to capture that and keep as much close as we can to the kind of, the verse that Joss laid out. In some cases with licenses, you do have a fair amount of free rein to introduce more things. The extent to which that's going to happen with Firefly is still not, we haven't made that clear yet.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, how about the art direction? Do you guys have like a set thing in mind? Like, are you going to go like with some of the old Star Wars games where you're using film clips and setting photos, or are you going to go more the digital manual art kind of stuff that you see in RPGs today?
Well, Margaret brought on Daniel Solis, who has done some layout stuff for us before with recently with Marvel's Civil War supplements.
And which are Daniel's amazing, by the way.
Yeah, thanks. He is an incredibly creative guy, Daniel is. If you haven't checked out Daniel Solis's website, it's Solis, Solis. He's quite well known for doing Happy Birthday Robot and Doe, the Pilgrims of the Flying Temple.
And, oh, the game's wicked cool.
Yeah. He has been given the responsibility of sort of putting the book together in the visual sense and getting the art direction. So I'm not really involved with that. Obviously, I can comment in terms of, it's going to look like Firefly, it's going to feel like Firefly. But thankfully, this time around, my job is not to try and, get that figured out. I just get to stick to the rules part of it.
And how hard is it going to be to actually get a copy of the book signed by the crew?
I have no idea. That kind of thing will go to eBay in like 5 minutes. So, yeah.
Well, hey, cool. Now, this is not the first Firefly/Serenity RPG, right?
Well, that's true. There was a Serenity RPG before this, but the license is very different. Different licensing companies, the teams are different. And I think, although if you have been a fan of the game in the past, there's going to be stuff that you will like about this one. And if you're all new to Firefly, which a lot of people are, it's been 10 years since the show ended. There's a lot of new brown coats out there, and I think for them, this will be their first experience with the role-playing version of it.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Well, cool. So this is coming out when, or is it one of those TBD kind of things?
Yeah, I mean, it's this year. It's going to come out this year. There's going to be all kinds of stuff that we're planning. But but right now, since we kind of just sort of point you to a product page and say, here's all the list of things, it's too early for me to give you any kind of dates. But expect to be able to play it at Gen Con, because we're going to have some events lined up, and most likely events at different game stores for this year. We'll see how things turn out. Marvel did a good job. We did a good job with Marvel, I think, in rolling it out to stores, and that was very popular. People doing game days, playing Breakout. So I would love to see the same sort of thing happen with Firefly.
Okay. And speaking of Marvel and science fiction, the Marvel Annihilation source book's been out for a little while now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I can talk about.
Yeah. Well, I did just a little bit of writing on that. I think I wrote up maybe the Nova Corps section, but it was a fun book to work on, and I've been really looking forward to getting a chance to play it. It just looks amazing.
Yeah, and there's some people who have been playing it. There was a huge version of the event run at Dreamation, a big convention out on the East Coast, and that was 14 players, I think 3 watchers, all kind of working together with different groups, and I just was looking at some of the first actual player reports of that, and it just sounds phenomenal and a lot of fun. It's the kind of event that you can, I think, a lot like Civil War in some ways. You could probably do the same thing with Civil War, really large groups of just different teams all kind of smashing together that way.
Well, certainly. I mean, it's a large – you know, actually, there's going to be some folks – I know I was talking to somebody who's a big Marvel fan earlier today, and she was like, you know, I have no idea what Annihilation is. I was not tuned into that at all. I was reading Civil War, but I dismissed that. Just for our listeners who might be in that boat, could you give them a quick summary of what the Annihilation event was?
Yeah, and it did happen roughly the same time as Civil War, because there was a what-if. What if Annihilus, who this, the whole event's named after, a longtime Fantastic Four villain from the Negative Zone, Annihilus comes out of the Negative Zone with this enormous fleet of ships and other kinds of, you know, dangerous things, and pretty much goes through, you know, interstellar empire after interstellar empire, smashing its way towards Earth. And it's pretty phenomenal. I mean, they take up most of what's left of Skrull space. They make a big incursion to the Kree space as well. I think the Shi'ar kind of get left alone, which is nice. They probably weren't on the way, you know. But the event book does allow for all of that stuff to come out and play out. In terms of timeline, I think because the what-if was, what if the Annihilation arrived at Earth and it was kind of near the tail end of Civil War? So the Captain America versus Iron Man stuff was interrupted by an alien invasion, which I think kind of gives you the sense of when that roughly happens. It's going to be the same time, and in fact, that makes it fun because you can kind of combine both events together if you really wanted to, and really mess up your players a lot.
Excellent, excellent. Well, now you're gonna have some follow up, right? There are some sequels in the works for Annihilation.
We have at least one confirmed, which we are able to talk about. That's Conquest, which was the sequel in the comic books to the Annihilation miniseries. And Conquest kind of kicks off this whole new Guardians of the Galaxy group, because that's the one that the movies are going to be about, with Star-Lord and Drax the Destroyer and Gamora and those other characters. They all show up first as a strike team that has to stop another sort of related alien invasion in the Kree Empire. And the fun part about that is you get to play these sort of minor characters that weren't really involved, like Rocket Raccoon, and you can continue your story with the same characters you had in Annihilation, or you can just pick up some new ones and see what else happens.
Oh, cool. I had heard a rumor they're going to have Jason Statham doing the Rocket Raccoon voice.
Oh, really? Really? Sorry.
That'd be great.
I mean, go ahead.
They just announced, I think today or yesterday, that Batista from WWE is going to be Drax, and I think it's a pretty good lineup, pretty good casting choice.
I can see that. No, we're doing Thanos Imperative, too.
Yep, Thanos Imperative and The War of Kings are hopefully to come out. We're still seeing how things are going to be this year for that. But I'm pretty confident we'll get more Annihilation goodness coming out.
Okay, well, yeah, some Annihilation questions, right?
Yeah, how much interaction did you actually have with guys like Dan Abnett?
Not a lot. I mean, I think we did reach out to try and get in touch with some of them. We've got people who know their people, you know, but not a whole lot of that was done. I think, you know, Dan and those guys have sort of moved on a little bit from Annihilation to do more stuff in other places, and as often as the case, if you go and talk to creators about things which they've worked on, like, say, 5 years ago, it's like opening up a whole period of their life that you know, has good and bad things in it. So I don't really know. I'm pretty certain that we did write by their stories, and Keith Giffen's work, too, I think. You know. Okay.
I've had Abnett on the podcast a few times, and I tried to get him back to talk about this. But he's really doing other stuff now. He's doing a comic book series, I think, like Boom or Dynamite, that's carrying on Battlestar Galactica, but not the recent one. It's carrying on the 1970s Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, Dan does amazing work, but he's in a lot of quirky different fields you wouldn't, you know, expect people to be working in, like 1970s Battlestar Galactica comic books.
What was it, Galactica 80? You know,
I think they're ignoring that continuity.
That's probably a good plan.
Yeah, I would agree.
Now with Annihilation, in the core book, you know, I have some friends that will play Marvel and, you know, just grab characters out of some of the data sheets and go. But, you know, other guys, you know, they really want to put their own spin on things. Do you have rules in there for things like the Nova Corps and stuff like that, how to adapt that to your own people?
Yeah, actually, that's one of the best things about this event is that there are a lot of these sort of plug-and-play elements now. You can take a power set from a big list of different kinds of jobs or sorts of careers, so to speak, so like space pirate or engineer or something like that, and slap it onto a power set from an alien race like Kree or Space Knights or something, and then you've got your dude. The rest of it's pretty much, you know, filling up the blanks. So you can play original characters very easily. In fact, you can even play red shirts in this manner by sort of creating a quick character and having him blown up. You know, it wouldn't be difficult to do.
Red shirts, are you talking about like the Star Trek red shirts?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, a lot of characters who will appear in an Annihilation miniseries for like 5 seconds, like in 2 panels, you think, hey, yeah, it looks like a cool character, and then he's shot from behind by a whole bunch of screaming space bugs. So, you know.
I mean, there's certain scenes, like if you're playing, you know, the destruction of the kiln, the odds are kind of against you.
Yeah, not really that likely to happen. So I think when you the rules allow you to play the people that you know about, Silver Surfer and Beta Ray Bill and those guys, and I think a lot of people will want to do that. But you're right. I mean, some people just want to make their own characters, and for this event, at least, we wanted to help get them on the right page and give them the sort of the tools they need to sort of create characters that would fit with the space and cosmic characters as well. So that's kind of why all those racial power sets are in there, and why a lot of the thematic power sets for different kinds of character are also provided.
Now, with the upcoming stuff, like, you know, you had mentioned some of the upcoming titles like War of Kings and stuff like that, how easy will it be to integrate all this stuff together or play through and just keep going through it so that it's one continuous cycle?
The difference between these event supplements and the ones for Civil War, which were more or less continuous, conterminous, they were happening roughly at the same time as the core event. What's happening, at least in Conquest, for example, is that it's not at the same time. It's Act 4 and Act 5 of the
right.
First, you know. So you can play the first 3 acts of Annihilation with the core event book and then continue on the story, and it's designed to be afterwards. So you really can just go straight from playing the event book and go on to the supplement without having to worry about integrating it early on.
Oh, cool. Well, hey, guys, I got to get back to work, unfortunately. Anything else you want to cover in this podcast before we wrap up?
I'm good.
Cam?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm fine.
Okay.
I will ask people to just keep checking out MargaretWeiss.com for all the Cortex goodness that's coming up. And if you had anything to do with the Cortex Hacker's Guide Kickstarter, if you were a backer for that, there's going to be all kinds of really cool stuff coming out soon for that, too.
Oh, hey, should we be receiving emails with downloads for that?
Yeah, you'll be in stuff soon.
Okay.
If you're a backer, then you'll be getting contacted. I know that Dave is really busy, and there are a whole lot of people backing this. So we have to get this stuff in the shape that people can read it. And once that happens, everyone can see more. I think there should have been a version of the Hacker's Guide gone out to people. If you didn't get one, get in touch with Dave and see what you can do about that.
Excellent. Okay, thank you very much. Well, anything else before we wrap up?
No, I'm good.
Right.
I really appreciate your time, sir.
Hey, no problem. Thank you.
Hey, Cam, always a pleasure. And to our listeners, thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.